going to go to Ephesians chapter 1 in a moment here. As you know, we've been looking over the last couple of fellowships at the responsibilities of Jesus Christ. And this is part 3 of that. We have looked at the reasons for these responsibilities, and just very briefly, because of his exalted position is why he has the various responsibilities that he does have today in the body of Christ. Last week, we looked at responsibilities that were related to salvation, how he's the captain of salvation and the mediator between God and man, the savior of the world, how he was responsible to shed forth Holy Spirit, making people whole, confirming the word, and of course, the overarching responsibility of being Lord, which is kind of the overarching position that he has as God's second in command, God's right-hand man. Today I wanted to look at, as Lord, he is also head of the body of Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 1, is where we'll start with that, which is a very specific responsibility that he has. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places," or in the heavenlies, "far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet," God put all things under Jesus Christ's feet, "and gave him," Jesus Christ, "to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So Jesus Christ was made the head of the body of Christ, of which we are the members. He is the only named position in the body of Christ, because it calls everybody else members in particular. Remember all that thing in Corinthians about, well, if you're a hand or the head or a foot or a... There's the only specific named position in the body of Christ is head, and that is held by Jesus Christ, which is wonderful. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 4. "There is one body," there you go, "and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, who is Jesus Christ, one faith, one baptism, one God, who is Jesus Christ, Father, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And from him," from the head, "from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." What a wonderful verse that shows you how the body works together. But how the body works and how every member supplies the one position that does the guiding is the head. If you think about it, in your body, you know, you have various members in your body. What is it that guides the rest of your body? The head. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't do that good a job, does it? People end up doing things they shouldn't be doing. But Jesus Christ is not that way. Jesus Christ walked perfectly, and God exalted him and gave him the position to be the head of the body of Christ. So as his responsibility is to guide that body. In Ephesians 5, we'll see that in a minute here. Ephesians 5, verse more detail. 5:23. This is talking about the husband and wife relationship. Right in the middle of it, it talks about this whole responsibility Jesus Christ has. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. So the point is here is that the church is to be subject unto the head, who is Christ. That's why you see a lot of times in the church epistles where God wrote and told them, you guys have lost the understanding how of Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's the head, not somebody else in the body of Christ, not a self-proclaimed person on the face of the earth, nothing like that. Right? Jesus Christ is head. It is the flattest organization on the face of the earth. Jesus Christ head, all members in particular. Wonderful. In Colossians, I think we're going to. No, let's look at verse 29 of the same chapter, actually, while we're here. Actually, yeah. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So, if he's the head, what is his responsibility? To nourish and cherish the church. Right? Verse 32, I think it is. We're going to. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So he's talking about the husbands and wives, but he said that is also a symbol of how Jesus Christ takes care of the church. He gave himself for the church, so a husband's supposed to give himself for his wife. Right? So that responsibility he has to nourish and cherish the church, to guide the church, that is a very specific responsibility given to him by God. Now in Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. Again, this is where, you know, sometimes because of these awesome responsibilities that he has, you know, people can mistake his responsibilities to the ones that God has. And they mistakenly think that he is the one and the same, and he's not. He's the Son of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, talking about God, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He has a kingdom. Having a kingdom, you have responsibilities. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in, that should be in, for in him, talking about Jesus Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created in him, should be, and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. He's also the firstborn of the new life that God made in Jesus Christ. Who's going to be he's also the first one, it says, to be raised from the dead. Who are the other ones that are going to be raised from the dead? Believers. Right? So he's the start of it all. He's the head of the body. And every other person who is a member of the body of Christ will also be raised when he returns to be with him. And then the body will once again be joined together, like the Word of God says. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head. He is the head of all principality and power. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding unto those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head. See, it was a problem. They did not recognize Jesus was the head of the body, not holding the head. And, you know, you remember those records in Corinthians where they say, you know, I want to follow Apollos. I want to follow Peter. I want to follow this guy. I want to follow, and Paul asked the question, was I crucified for you? No, Jesus Christ is the one you follow. He is the head. There's a problem. So he's not holding the head, from which all the body, the rest of us, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So Jesus Christ is the head. And as head, he has certain responsibilities. Acts 20. One of the responsibilities he has as being head of the body, and we just read it in Ephesians a little bit, is that he is responsible to assign responsibilities and ministries within the body of Christ. That's what God has given to him to do. Acts 20, 24. This is Paul talking about, his ministry. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of who? The Lord Jesus, to testify the grace, gospel of grace. Who is the one who gave Paul the ministry? Jesus Christ did. It's his responsibility to assign ministries in the body of Christ. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? In Romans chapter 1. If God gave him the responsibility to be in charge of the body, then he also has this. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. By whom, talking about Jesus Christ, that's verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, talking about Jesus Christ, by Jesus whom we have received grace and apostleship. Who is the one who picks apostles in the body of Christ? Jesus Christ. That's his job. In Ephesians chapter 4, I think we're going to go to Ephesians 4. We just read it. We'll read it again. Looking at it from this point of view. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he set it up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He's the one who did that. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he, Jesus Christ, gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That tells you why they were given. But he's the one who's responsible for assigning those. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who did it? Jesus Christ. I thank Jesus Christ, who did that for me. In 2 Timothy, while we're here, chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth, actually verse 3, thou therefore endurest hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Who is that? Jesus Christ. See, his responsibility to assign responsibilities and ministries within the body of Christ. He's head. He should have that responsibility, and God gave it to him. Acts chapter 9. The other responsibility he has, as I alluded to earlier, is that as the head of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ's responsibility to direct the members. Who directs the members of your body? Your head, right? You direct them. It's the head that does the directing of the members. Acts chapter 9. You know, the interesting thing here is that when Jesus Christ directs the body of Christ as head, who does he get his information from? God. God is ultimately responsible. He's given Jesus Christ the position of head of the body of Christ, and now as the head, it is his responsibility in directing the members. Acts chapter 9, verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and this is talking about Paul. He was 3 days without sight and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul, of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. He hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Who was doing the directing here? Jesus Christ. It's really interesting, some of the details of the information that he gave. He said, you're going to go to a house. By the way, the guy who owns the house, his name is, you know, he gives the guy his name. What is he saying?
Simon.
Judas. House of Judas. His name is Judas. And you're going to find a guy there by name. His name is Paul. And when you see, he's going to be on his knees praying. He's going to be praying. And by the way, I've shown him a vision that tells him that a man named Ananias is coming to see him. What clear direction, was it not? It wasn't kind of like, oh, something, I've been reading something somewhere. It was very clear direction, right? As to where he was going. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, look, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then he went on his way. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me. Who sent him? Jesus Christ, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 18. Verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go on to the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Who gave him the direction to stay there? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, Paul, look, you'll be okay. I'll take care of you. You know, I have a lot of people here. So Jesus Christ told Paul what to do. In Acts 22. Looking at Paul's conversion when he first was spoken to by Jesus Christ. Verse 22, verse 1, chapter 22, verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear my defense, which I now make unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering unto prisons both men and women. Pretty heavy. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus, to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? The Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. So Jesus Christ directed him, and then he went to Ananias, and told Ananias where Paul was, and then told Ananias to go over to where Paul was. And that's what they did. Right? In Acts 26, when Paul talked about his conversion later on when he was in prison, when he was imprisoned, Acts 26, verse 14. And when we were, there's more information here, but when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. Who make him a minister? Jesus Christ. Make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. He told him he was going to appear unto him again. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Verse 19, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So that's exactly what Paul did. What God asked by Jesus Christ Paul to do, that's exactly what Paul did. In Acts 22, where are we? Acts 22. Acts 22. We're going to go to verse 17. Paul in Jerusalem. Acts 22, verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him staying unto me. Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So this was Paul in Jerusalem, and when he was there, the Lord appeared to him and said, Look, get out of here. They're not going to actually hear what you're saying. Let's see. Verse 19, And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. So he was part and parcel to the murdering of Stephen. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. It was Jesus Christ who told Paul what to do. Jesus Christ told him, Don't stay here. They're not going to listen to you. The other place told him what? Stay here. I've got a lot of people here. Right? Who was giving the direction? Jesus Christ. In Acts 23, just one chapter over, when Paul was before the council, and Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood in... Sorry, I missed my chapter here. Stood by to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I didn't know that he was high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there rose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part rose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel had spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing Thus Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome." Who told him to go? Who told him he was going to be going? Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This might give you, a better understanding of what it means to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any. For Christ sent me. Who sent him?
Christ.
For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. It was Jesus Christ, his responsibility. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 9. But if they cannot, this is talking about marriage and so forth again. Verse 9. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Who is commanding the body of Christ? Jesus Christ. His responsibility. It's a responsibility God has given him, and he takes it very seriously. In Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who told him? Jesus Christ. He's the one who told Paul about the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, see, the life of the body of Christ has to flow through the head into the members. Right? Jesus Christ is the head of the body. God is over all. Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, always did the Father's will. He always said those things that please the Father. He goes, what I speak because the Father tells me to speak. What I do because the Father asked me to do. He always followed his Father's will. God is the one who exalted him and gave him the position at the right hand, at his own right hand. He is God's second in command. God is the one who gives the information to him. God was the one who was giving the information to him while he was on the earth. You think it's going to be different now that he's seated at God's right hand? God is over all. Jesus Christ is his son, and as his son, God has given him the responsibility to be the head of the body of Christ. And the word of God says we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." Where is the ultimate direction coming from? God our Father. See, it came from God tells Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is responsible for the body. God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to abound, increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all, even as we do toward you. And we'll close in 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, there could be, you can look at a lot of verses on this topic, but just looked at a handful today. In 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent, this is Peter now, to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth, yet think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, or the body, he was talking about his physical body, as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, that he was going to die, even as our who? Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Who showed Peter that he was going to die? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ taking care of his people, taking care of all those that are responsible in the body of Christ, and all the body of Christ. It's his responsibility. As head, it is his responsibility to guide the members, direct the members, to cherish the church, protect the church, and watch over the church. And he does that at God's clear direction and command, but it's a responsibility given to him. So that's a little bit on his responsibility as head of the body of Christ. But again, something you can look at in more detail, you know, as you read God's word.